on BBC Radio 4.
We could see the city burning, even halfway across the English Channel.
The World War II bombing of Coventry.
What was once my butcher's shop, my little empire, now reduced to a pile of ash.
God save the King and God save Coventry.
From devastation to the 2021 UK City of Culture.
The destruction which followed gave the planners a blank canvas.
The reality of us now is that we're a cracking city.
The Raising of Coventry on Radio 4. Available now on BBC Sounds.
Alice has a confession to make in The Archers at 7 o'clock. But first, the next in our series of new sketch show pilots here on Radio 4. And this week is the turn of the comedian Al Murray, most famous, of course, for his character, the pub landlord. But appearing here as we've never heard him before.
Hello, I'm Al Murray, comedian, actor, author, broadcaster, historian, sometime musician, radio and TV personality. For half an hour, myself and the company of excellent players assembled hope to amuse, entertain and distract you. Welcome to Totally Out of Character, my new show for BBC Radio 4. Thank you. Now, everyone who normally works at Radio 4, Sarah Montague, Melvin Bragg, the Pips, all of them, the five short ones, and that weird attention-seeking long one, I don't like him, are working from home. But in the face of COVID-19, we're tapping into the spirit of the Blitz by huddling together in a windowless bunker, wondering if we're all about to die. And I'm pleased to say, tonight's audience is watching us via Zoom. Hello, audience! Zoom! Zoom, an invention that in the darkest days of the lockdown allowed us to connect with our friends and work colleagues and see just how untidy their houses were. Get those dirty pants off the radiator. Ooh, and what's that problematic volume on your bookshelf? But first things first. You're probably wondering why I'm not in character. Well, why I'm myself and not the comedy character I've played for the last 25 years or so, the pub landlord. Maybe you're thinking, right now, he sounds nothing like Al Murray. Yes, that's right. I don't sound anything like Al Murray, except this is what I sound like. So why am I here as Al Murray and not Al Murray? Well, it's simple, really. Radio 4 think the pub landlord's a bit too leery for their tastes. A bit too Brexity for them. Or not Brexity enough. You know what the BBC's like. So, the powers that be uttered the immortal words that every creative person loves to hear. We love what you do. We think it's great. Do something else. So, here we are. And here I am, the other Al Murray. The actual Al Murray. I really want to emphasise as well, I'm nothing like the other bloke. He is nothing like me. Not one bit. We just look the same. Unlike him, I'm not irascible. Unlike him, I have no firm idea what I think about a lot of subjects. And unlike him, I don't drink heavily to deal with my problems. Okay, that last one might be a lie. Problem is, I never really appear in front of an audience as me. I never have. I wouldn't know where to start. I'm totally out of my comfort zone. I'm standing up in a room and saying with a shaking voice, my name is Al Murray, and I'm not entirely sure, actually. But to help me find out, I've been joined by three wonderful actors who you may recognise if you've ordered a Deliveroo in the last 6 months, and they are Fergus Craig, Ambika Mott, and Amy Gledhill.
This is really exciting. I've done all my research, so I'm fully prepped.
When you say research, you don't mean Wikipedia.
Yeah, it's great. Thanks to Wikipedia, I now know you're an actor, writer, comedian, musician, and a citation needed.
This is exactly what's wrong with celebrity culture these days. Everything is just out there. I remember when famous people had a bit of mystery. Yeah? They were elusive, enigmatic. If I wanted to know who played drums on the Human League's third CD, I had to read an interview in Smash Hits magazine.
Hold on, I'm confused. What's Smash Hits?
And what's a magazine?
And what's a CD?
All right. Half the time it's not even true. Look at my Wikipedia page. It says so many things about me that aren't true. Take this bit, for example. It says I live in Hammersmith. I don't.
I know you don't, but I like to create a bit of mystery.
Fergus, you're the bloke who keeps editing my Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
Why'd you do it?
Don't take it personally. I do it with thousands of celebrities. Piers Morgan likes hand gliding. That one's mine. Priti Patel's expression doesn't change when she treads on snails. That's another.
And are they true?
Who knows? Who cares?
But what about mystery? In 1984, I didn't know what kind of car Phil Collins drove.
I put Reliant Robin.
Or what school Richard Burton went to.
Cheltenham Ladies College, according to me.
And I was happy not knowing. Who does it benefit? What's wrong with mystery?
But don't you see, I'm keeping the mystery.
What?
Thanks to me, no one knows where you really live, your blood group, or the actual name of your pets. They just think they do.
Right.
It's still a mystery, so would you like me to keep it that way?
Yeah, I guess.
Good. Now, excuse me, I've got to crack on. I need to tell people that George Galloway invented wasps.
Oh, come on, the British people won't be so stupid as to believe that.
Have you seen who they made Prime Minister?
Point taken. Look, we're wasting time. I'm no closer to figuring out who I am.
Right, I can totally help you with this. You see, as an actor, whenever I start rehearsals, the first question I ask is, who am I? Followed by, are the crisps in the dressing room for, like, everyone?
Of course. We'll approach it like a part. My greatest role to date. Myself.
Well, let's start with your backstory. What made you first decide to be a comedian?
All right, don't put it in air quotes. I guess it was a calling, fate, destiny, kismet.
Right. Only I was on a UKIP message board last night, pretending to be a gay member of ISIS wanting to join. Really funny. Oh, brilliant. And they were saying you became a comedian because your grandfather was a famous British diplomat who opened loads of doors for you.
Right, OK, I'm glad you brought this up. I genuinely get this all the time from idiots on the left and the right. It's true. My grandfather was a British diplomat, but how people think he was able to influence my comedy career is beyond me. I mean, let's just run through this scenario and see how ridiculous it is. It's 1982, and my grandfather, Sir Francis Murray, British ambassador to Greece, yes, he did exist, and yes, he was a real relative, is lying on his deathbed.
Sir Murray, I've come from the Foreign Office to take note of your dying wishes.
There's only one thing I desire, to ensure my 14-year-old grandson, Alistair, becomes a character comedian. He must play the comedy store.
Does that sound feasible so far?
I mean, it's possible.
Possible? OK, let's run with that. The day my grandfather died, the British Foreign Office sprang into action.
Operation Funny Bones is go. For the next 12 years, Britain's entire security network must infiltrate Alistair Murray's friends and family. We will pose as school chums, teachers, his girlfriend. And huge thanks to Sandra for sacrificing her self-esteem for Queen and Country.
I'll do literally anything to make this man a comedian.
Together, we will build up Murray's confidence, tell him he's special and funny, encourage him to go on stage, but not as himself. That's vitally important. Until, and God willing, he books an open spot at Up the Creep Comedy Club in South London on New Acts Night. In the interests of security, I will now eat the minutes of this meeting, followed by the furniture and the carpet.
That sounds likely, doesn't it?
I don't know. I'll admit it would take a lot of organising.
And I've been on telly, haven't I? I mean, who pulled the strings for that? Who was powerful enough? It must have come from the top.
Hello. Is this the head of BBC? The Queen here. Now listen up and listen good. Put Al Marion live at the Apollo this week or Big Mama pulls a Christmas speech. Capiche? Good.
That's right. The fact that I, Al Murray, built a career in comedy is entirely down to a 40-year conspiracy started by my grandfather involving MI5, the Royal Family, hundreds of thousands of extras and a budget that would rival the GDP of many small South American countries. That sounds really, really, really likely, doesn't it?
I'll stay off UKIP message boards.
It's a good rule of thumb, to be fair.
Wow. That's made me look at things very differently.
I'm sure it has.
It's Alistair, not Alan. Amazing.
Seriously? That's your takeaway? Oh, hang on, it's my agent. Hello.
Al, darling, it's Gretzina. I've booked you a lovely job.
What is it, a play? A gritty drama. Don't tell me, a travel show where I celebrate an exotic culture by sniffing their food and pulling a face.
Even better, a documentary. Al Murray's History of Pubs.
Oh, no! Now, I've told you, I'm moving away from the landlord. No pubs, no pints, no maroon coats.
Fine. Bye!
You can set your watch by it, you know. Twice a year, I get a call from a producer asking me to present a History of Pubs documentary, and the answer is always no. Anyway, where were we?
Oh, we were talking about your well-connected relatives who definitely haven't had an influence on your comedy career. Anyway, it's not like you ever mention your famous relatives, is it?
Except for all the newspaper articles where you talk about your famous great-great-great-grandfather.
Well, quotes can often get taken out of context in print media.
And when you played him in a Radio 4 adaptation of his most celebrated novel.
And that T-shirt you're wearing that says, I'm the great-great-great-grandson of William Makepeace Thackeray.
William Makepeace Thackeray.
Ah, no, don't say his name twice.
As I am bidden, so I come.
Everyone, this is the ghost of William Thackeray. Ghost of William Thackeray, meet everyone.
The most famous author of Victorian England, at your service.
Apart from Charles Dickens.
Don't mention that hack's name. He just copied other people's ideas. I was the true original. That's why my legacy lives on through the ages.
Bill, I don't need ghosts on this show.
Oh, but you do, Alistair. I am come to warn you. Change your ways or be damned forever. Tonight, you will be visited by three spirits.
You mean like in A Christmas Carol? By Charles Dickens?
What? No, this is my thing. I came up with it. The first ghost will show you the past. Ooh.
Yeah, like they've done in, like, over 43 live-action versions of Dickens' classic novel.
When the clock strikes 12... Hang on, 43? Jesus, how many versions of Vanity Fair are there?
OMG, you wrote Vanity Fair?
Indeed I did, my dear. Do you like it?
Oh, it's my favourite magazine. Your 10 tips on how to drive your man wild in bed changed my life.
Alistair, who is this person?
Guys... William wrote many wonderful novels.
Exactly. Surely you're all familiar with Lovell the Widower?
No.
Dennis Duval?
No.
The Fitzboodle Papers?
The Fitzboodle Papers? You definitely made that up.
Yes, you're right. I bloody wrote it.
Don't be upset, William.
Oh, it's no use. I'm just a washed-up, mediocre writer who doesn't even have the talent to avoid being undead. Anyway, Al, I was here to offer you my writing services on this show of yours, but I think I'll decline.
Why?
Obvious, isn't it? There isn't room for two Oxbridge-educated white men on this show who are only famous for doing one bloody thing. Farewell, vanitas vanitarum.
Heckled by my own great-great-great-grandfather. And not a chance for my witty riposte either.
Yeah, well, at least I'm not dead, mate.
He's right, though. You are only associated with the landlord. We need to rebrand you, get the public to associate you with other stuff.
What about your hobbies and interests?
I have lots of interests, politics, music, and I love Second World War history. Did you know, for example, that the rubber used on the boots of Allied soldiers at Normandy...
Sorry to interrupt, because this is, like, well, fascinating, but I've just had a memo from the BBC. repeated references to World War II can cause offence to the people of Germany, Italy, Japan, and those who voted Remain. Any World War II obsessives working at the BBC must join a 12-step programme to cure them of their addiction.
I'm not addicted!
That's what they all say. It's just through the door and down the stairs. It's nothing to worry about.
That's what the SS said.
So, everyone, good to see you all, old faces and one or two new people, and welcome to the World War II Addiction Group. My name's Sandra, and...
Sorry, I don't want to interrupt, but it's not World War II. It's actually called the Second World War, you know, after the First World War. It's not a movie sequel.
Well, let's all calm down. Can I ask your name?
I'm Al.
Okay, Al. Sounds like you've got some demons to work through, and this is a neutral space to share.
Neutral? Like Sweden during the war. Sorry.
No problem, Mark.
Well, technically Sweden were neutral, but they did sell iron ore and ball bearings to the Germans, so it's entirely debatable.
Al, we pop our hands up when we want to share in this meeting. Okay, so, yes, Mark, you've got your hand up.
Yeah. Hello, everyone. My name is Mark Francois, MP, and I am obsessed with World War II.
Second World War.
Hello, Mark.
This week, I was doing an interview at Parliament. I'm an MP, you see.
Yes, we know.
So, I was being interviewed for the telly, talking about trade deals with Germany, and I started going on about Churchill.
Oh, we've all been there.
I was making a good point about alignment of markets, and the next thing I knew, we will fight them on the beaches, we will fight them on the land, we will never surrender.
Actually, the quote is fight on the landing grounds.
We don't judge one another's share.
Am I the only one who actually knows anything about the Second World War?
World War II.
All of us know too much, Al. That's why we're here. Caitlin. You've got your hand up.
Hi, I'm Caitlin, a World War II addict.
Oh, so infuriating.
Hi, Caitlin.
Well, as I shared last time, I recently threw out all my Stay Calm and Carry On tea towels.
It's Keep Calm, for God's sake.
And my cushion covers. Pillowcases, duvet covers, dusters, earrings, hot water bottle covers, tea cozies, coasters, Monopoly set, beanie and scarves.
Oh, well done, Caitlin.
And now I'm just worried that I won't be able to either stay calm or carry on.
Keep calm!
Al, I hate to judge, but I really think you should find yourself another group.
What? One that covers the Second World War rather than World War II?
No. Pedants Anonymous. They're next door.
They're not actually. They're two doors down.
Just leave us alone. Just leave us alone, like Germany did to Switzerland. Sorry, damn, sorry, sorry, sorry.
Germany planned to invade Switzerland. It was called Operation Tenenbaum. Do some reading. Watch some documentaries. Look, I've got some here in my bag.
He's a dealer.
Enabler.
Look at him pushing his filth. I wouldn't be surprised if he wants to teach the war to kids.
Well, I would, actually.
People like you disgust me. Get out.
I will. Like Germany didn't from Stalingrad in 1942, a major turning point during the Second World War.
World War II!
That was a mean trick, guys.
Sorry, Al, but in our defence, what you were saying was really boring.
Well, the joke is on you, because I've just had a brainwave about what the new me might actually be known for.
Oh, interesting. Are you going to become one of those older comedians they've got these days who are intolerant of things? You could have a problem with foreigners or bread.
Or foreign bread. Sourdough, it's like eating roof tiles.
That's pretty funny, actually. No. I want to make the world a better place with my art. And the only art form that can really heal people is music.
Maybe.
I guess.
And that's the main reason I'm in a band. What's so funny?
Just a man of your age having a band.
I'm 25 years younger than Mick Jagger.
And about 10 stone heavier. Do you get groupies on the bus?
course they do. They've all got bus passes.
Hashtag dad rock.
We're not a dad band.
Okay, boomer.
We're not. I'll tell you one thing. I won't have to put up with this when we hit big.
Fabulous! Prostate Exam! Their first time on Earlier with Jules Holland. The music show for people who can't stay up late because they've got a lot to do in the morning. And I'm delighted that Al Murray, the drummer and founder of Prostate Exam, is with us now. Great to have you here.
Oh, thanks for having us, Jules. Yeah, it's lovely to meet you. You sound completely different in real life.
Thanks very much. That track you just played, Don't Use a Chisel to Open a Paint Pot.
Open brackets, you'll blunt it. Closed brackets.
Indeed. Is the first single off your amazing new album. It's Not Too Loud, and you can hear the words.
Out now, on CD, vinyl, and for the kids out there, yeah, we're dropping it on MP3. Cowabunga.
It's got some great songs. Smells Like White Spirit, Born to Run a couple of times a week, and my favourite, Portaloo Sunset. And you've just announced a new tour, I believe.
Yeah, biggest we've done so far. 5 dates, I think it is. The last here at Wembley.
Stadium?
Wetherspoons. Our motto is we will play anywhere, as long as we can drive there and back in an evening. Yeah, rock on! And they're the only pubs that are still open somehow.
And do you feel it's a good time for dad bands such as yourselves?
What bands?
Dad bands.
We're not a dad band, Jules.
You're all dads.
Yeah, but you don't call Oasis a brother band or Fleetwood Mac a shag my missus and get divorced band, do you?
We're running out of time, so one last question. Do you want me to play some boogie-woogie piano on your next song?
Oh, good God, no, 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 no.
You don't really have a choice. It's in my contract, see? Jules must ruin at least one song per episode.
Oh God.
Unless
what?
Just admit it.
I'm admitting nothing.
This'll sound lovely over your middle eight. Dig that syncopation.
All right, all right, all right. All right, we're a dad band. We're a band of dads. Sad, overweight, middle-aged men playing bland, middle-of-the-road dad rock for other sad middle-aged men. Okay?
In that case, see you next month.
Where?
The Brits. You'll clean up. Ladies and gentlemen, Al Murray.
Fair enough. Maybe music isn't the way to go.
Plus, music is so passé these days. We haven't got the attention span for it. We're too easily distracted. Someone just sent me a video of a dog on a pogo stick.
Oh, hold on. It's my agent again. What is it, Gretzina?
Sweetie pie, I've got to be quick. I'm at Alton Towers with Martin Scorsese and he's having a meltdown because they've said he's too short to go on Nemesis. All socially distanced here, of course. Anyway, the history of pubs, people have upped their offer. The money's the same, but now they've promised the use of a trailer and a hot lunch.
Well, that's tempting, but hang on, I assumed lunch was part of the original deal. Doesn't matter, I don't want to do it. I have my artistic principles.
All right, love. Mustache. Marty? Marty, get your hands out of the pick and mix.
Oh, forget it. This is a waste of time. We've spent this whole show trying to figure out who I am, and we're no closer than when we started.
We need a break. Let's go to the pub for a bit and unwind with people exclusively from our household.
Don't want to.
Come on. Wouldn't it be nice to go to the pub as yourself and not the landlord? Nobody bothering you, asking for selfies or quoting catchphrases.
You can have a nice glass of wine or a fruit-based drink.
There's a quiz on tonight.
You had me at quiz on tonight.
It was literally the last thing I said.
This was a great idea, guys. I feel so much better.
And I think we're in with a real chance of winning.
Perfect. I'm here as myself. No one's recognised me, and I don't want them to. I tell you, fame and recognition are two things I can definitely do without.
All right, folks, we're down to the final part of quiz, and it's a tiebreaker between Quiz Team Aguilera and Autoerotic Quiz Fixiation. It's all down to this last question.
I've got a good feeling about this.
Keep your voices down.
Which British comedian is the great-great-great-grandson of William Thackeray?
Oh, damn it.
Oh, my God, it's you.
I can't believe it.
Oh, well, that's just brilliant.
Yes, yes, it is. We're going to win.
Of course we're not. There'll be a tiebreaker. Everyone's definitely going to get this right.
Will they?
Oh, come on. Everyone knows I'm the answer.
I'm not sure they do, Al.
It's literally the one thing everyone knows about me. If I lean back in my chair, I can hear them. Oh, no, I don't believe it. They think it's Mickey Flanagan. Oh, God, they think it's Michael McIntyre. This is horrible.
No, this is amazing. We're going to win 45 quid.
Oh, I can't stand this. I'm going to have to give them a hint.
Al, what are you doing? Sit down.
Oh, I'm starving. I really fancy a Ruby Murray. Anyone else fancy a Ruby Murray?
Sit down. Fame and recognition are two things I can definitely do without.
This is different. Oh, God, she said James Corden. How can I not know? I mean, you both knew.
Well,
if I'm honest, I thought it was Eddie Izzard.
Oh, the torture! Torn between the sanctity of pub quiz conduct and...
self-importance.
Rampant narcissism.
Ego.
Sorry, I can't stand this anymore.
Ow!
He's taking the question master's mic.
Tricky question, weren't it? All that thinking's got my lady friend parched. What do you want? Glass of white wine for the lady or a fruit-based drink?
Shut up.
Just met the pub landlord. Lovely fella.
Oh, God, the woman from the other team has got up. She looks really angry.
Oi, can you pipe down, mate? We're trying to work out who the bloody comedian is in the question.
It's me! For the love of God! It's me, Al Murray! Comedian, writer, actor, musician! Al bloody Murray, the pub landlord!
I've never heard of him.
Of course you have, the bald one who's obsessed with the Second World War in a dad band, lives in Hammersmith, you know the one.
Oh,
Well, damn and blasted jings. How wicked of that last sketch to make me put on my maroon jacket and pick up a pint glass and be the man I promised only 28 minutes ago that I wouldn't be. It seems that after half an hour of valiantly fighting off rumours, gossip and downright slander from this group of pesky young upstart actors, I'm still no closer to finding out who the real Al Murray is. Well, I suppose at least we've learned some things that I'm not, and I'm sure that if we get a series, then I'll be able to rule out many other things that I'm also definitely not, until we're left with just me.
Stop! Is there a comedian, actor, musician and writer in the house?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, for God's sake, yes! We all just went through this 30 seconds ago, and yes, I do like some aspects of fame and recognition. I'm a performer. I mean, what a surprise.
Al, thank goodness you're here. We're filming a TV show in the pub across the road, and the presenter has fallen ill, got confused and ate a real pickled egg instead of one of the prop ones. We desperately need a replacement. Will you do it?
I can't. I haven't seen a script or a schedule. I'm not ready.
Please, Al! You're our only hope, not just because there are people at home desperate to watch yet another piece of light entertainment for ITV7.
Seven?
Not just for the crew who have been working all day, but because this country was built on people going above and beyond, people who reached inside themselves and found the strength they never knew they had. The Blitz, the Olympics, that World Cup we never stopped banging on about.
This is your chance to do just that, Al. To show the world who you really are.
What do you say?
Hello, and welcome to the History of Pubs with me, Al Murray. Al Murray, totally out of character, starred me, Al Murray, with Fergus Craig, Amy Gledhill, and Amber Kermod. It was written by me and Carl Minns with additional sketches from Max Davis, Charlie Dinkin, Laura Major and Simon Alcock. The producer was Richard Morris and it was a BBC Studios production.
Next week at the same time, Earwig, the comedy of overheard conversations. If you'd like a little more comedy, an episode of The Goon Show from 1956 is about to get going.